Cosgrove Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nyberg. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Manowar Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nyberg.
I want to speak to you on the subject of the rise of false religion. There is such a thing as false religion. Now I'm speaking from Genesis chapter 10, and I want to begin reading in verse 8. And Cush begat Nimrod. His name means rebel. And he began to be a mighty one in the earth. Now, what that is a reference to his power and influence over men. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Now, that is not a reference to hunting game, but he became a hunter of men. He sought to be a great influence among men. And this was before the Lord. Before the Lord's face is what that means, in opposition to the Lord. Even as, wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord, and the beginning of his kingdom was Babel. He was the founder of Babylon. He was the one who influenced people to seek to make that tower that would reach heaven that we read about in the 11th chapter of Genesis. Babel and Babylon. Now, I want to read a passage of Scripture from the book of Revelation that speaks of Babylon. Babylon means to confound, to mix, to confuse. And here we read in Revelation 17, and there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither. I'll show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, upon many nations, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. Now that's not talking about literal fornication. It could be included, but that's talking about spiritual adultery. With whom the kings have committed fornication, the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away into the spirit, into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, and having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. You see, there's an appeal to the flesh in this woman decked out so beautifully. But she represents all false religion, all works religion. And Babel and Babylon are first mentioned by this tower that Nimrod built, trying to reach God, trying to reach heaven, or trying to trump God's judgment, building a tower that was high enough to keep a flood from destroying them. Now, Genesis chapter 10, I want to remind you that the Bible is the inspired Word of God. Genesis chapter 10 is not just a boring genealogy with names of many people that we don't care about one way or the other. He's giving the descendants that came out of the line of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, its sons, and the nations that developed from that time. Now, during this chapter that names so many different nations that came out of those three sons of Noah to repopulate the earth, there's only one man that he spends any time referring to, and that's the man Nimrod. His name means rebel. Now, let me say before I get into Nimrod, who was the great-grandson of Noah, this chapter talks about many different nations, but it does not talk about many different races. There is only one race, the human race. There are not races. There's not a black race and a white race and some other kind of race. We all descend from the same man. We all descend from Adam. We all descend from Noah. He was the last man that survived the flood and his sons. We all come from one man. Acts chapter 17, Paul says, God hath made of one blood all nations. Now, there are different nations. There are different ethnicities. There are different colors of skin. There are diversity. But there is only one race. You see, where you have more than one race, you will have racism. You'll have one race believing itself to be superior to the other race, or believing the other races to be inferior to it. That's where racism comes from. But it's impossible if there's only one race. And there is only one race. Truly, all men are brothers and sisters, descendants of the same man. Racism is foolish. Racism is wrong. Racism is evil. It certainly can't be supported from the Scripture. There is only one race. And Genesis chapter 10 tells us about the spreading of the nations, the repopulating of the world. And Nimrod was the great-grandson of Noah. And he came through the line of Ham. And we read that he was a mighty hunter before the Lord. He is the one who built Babel. Now, let's read a little bit about Babel in Genesis chapter 11. And the whole earth, and most people think the earth couldn't have been more than 30 or 40,000 for an entire population at this time. Remember, the earth had been, men had been wiped out by a flood except for Noah and his sons. And this took place some 100 years after the flood, and most people think the population of the earth couldn't have been more than 30 or 40,000 at this time. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to. Let us make brick and burn them throughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. These man-made bricks and this slime, a petroleum substance, I think aptly called slime. It was not the pitch that was used to pitch, which was a form of a tar petroleum substance to cover the ark. This is a different word. It was a different substance. It was not that pitch that represents the atoning blood of Christ and the salvation of God. It was another kind of pitch, and it's called slime. And they used this slime to make the mortar to do this. Verse 4, and they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, something we can take credit for, lest that we be scattered abroad upon the face of the earth. Now, this is symbolic. They knew that this tower would not reach into the heavens or into the place where God dwells. This represents man's attempt at reaching God, man's religion, salvation by works, seeking to escape the judgment of God. And it's done to make a name for ourselves, something we can take credit for. That's what salvation by works is. If salvation is by works in any way, I can take some of the credit for it. I can rob God of the glory that's due Him alone. Let's make a name for ourselves. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they all have one language. And this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them, which they've imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language. Now, at this time, I think it's interesting if you... I tried to read the history of different languages, and linguists say nobody really knows why there are different languages. I know why there are different languages. God says this is what's going to take place in Genesis 11. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left to build off the city. Therefore is the name called Babel, because the Lord did confound the language of all the earth. Now you think about this. These people had known each other all their lives, and all of a sudden they can't understand one another's speech. Babel. Confusion. Now that is how human religion, false religion, is represented as confusion. Mixture is what the word means. As a matter of fact, this word is translated 37 times in the scripture, mixing. Now I realize false religion began with Satan tempting our first parents in the garden, yea, hath God said. It's demonstrated by Cain trying to approach God with the wrong sacrifice, his own works rather than the blood of the Lamb, trying to come to God on his own. But I love the way it's called Babel. Confusion. How confusing religion is. How mixed up religion is. How many different answers religion gives. Never the same. Religion. Babylon. Now, it has been said that the five solas of the Scripture of the Reformation came during the Reformation time. Have you ever heard of the five solas? This was said in the Reformation, Scriptures alone, Christ alone, grace alone, faith alone, and the glory of God alone. And that's said to have been developed in the 1500s during the Protestant Reformation. Now, I'm thankful that this was brought out during the Protestant Reformation, but these principles are eternal. They didn't just come out in the Protestant Reformation. It's always been the Scriptures alone. You see, the Scriptures are eternal. We read in the New Testament where the Scripture said to Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up. Now that's before the Scriptures were written. We still have the Scriptures. You see, the Scriptures, the Word of God. It's an eternal Word. We read in Galatians chapter 3, verse 8, for the Scriptures foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel to Abraham. Now this was a long time before the Scriptures were ever written down, but this is an eternal Word. What saith the Scriptures? We look to the Scriptures alone. We don't look to the Scriptures and our traditions. We don't look to the Scriptures and what we've always believed. We look to the Scriptures alone. We don't go to the Scriptures to try to prove what we believe. We go to the Scriptures to find out what to believe. The Scriptures alone. Christ alone. Christ alone has always been the only ground of salvation. Why was Abel saved? Christ alone. Why was Noah saved? Christ alone. Why was Abraham saved? Christ alone. Why was David saved? Because Christ died for his sins. Christ has always been the only ground of salvation. And it's always been grace alone. It's always been salvation by grace. Grace isn't some new dispensation after salvation didn't work, by works didn't work. It's always been salvation by grace from the very beginning. And it's always been faith alone. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. He was looking to Christ only. He was looking to the coming seed of woman that would bruise the serpent's head only. It's always been faith alone. And it's always been the glory of God alone. God's glory has always been His motive, His reason for doing all that He does. Now, when we introduce the word and, Scriptures and Christ and grace and faith and God's glory and we are introducing the religion of Babel, the religion of confusion. Let me show you a verse of Scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 where Paul the Apostle says, beginning in verse 17, "When I therefore was thus minded, did I use lightness? Or the things that I purpose, do I purpose according to the flesh? That with me there should be yea, yea, and nay, nay, yes and no to the same thing? But as God is true, our word toward you was not yea and nay, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. For all the promises of God in him are yea and amen to the glory of God by us." Now let's go back to these five solas. Do you believe the Scriptures alone? Well, yes, I do. Can you show me what you believe is what the Scripture teaches? You know, most people that would stand for the Word of God can't go to the Word of God to find out why that is. They don't really look to the Scriptures alone. If you look to the Scriptures alone, you'll believe what the Scriptures alone say. Somebody says, "I believe in the Scriptures alone. That's what the confession of my church holds to." Wait a minute. Why would you need a confession if you've got the Scriptures alone? We have church confessions and creeds and catechisms and so on. Why? Those are man-made documents. That's all they are. We look to the Scriptures alone. Do you believe in Christ alone? Well, yes, I do. But no, if you don't do your part, you won't be saved. He can die for you and He can pay for your sins. But if you don't accept Him as your personal Savior, you won't be saved. Yes, I believe in Christ alone. But no, you need to do your part or what He did won't work for you. That's yea and nay. That's the religion of Babylon. That's the mixing and confounding of things. Do you believe in grace alone? Well, of course I believe in grace alone. I believe God offers His grace to everybody, but it's up to your free will whether you accept it as to whether or not you'll be saved. Well, that's saying yes and no to the same thing. You can't believe in grace alone and believe in free will. Do you believe in grace alone? Yes, I do. Do you believe in election? No, I don't. Then you do not believe in grace alone. If you don't believe salvation begins with the electing grace of God, you don't believe grace, period. You're giving yes and no to the same thing. Do you believe in faith alone? Yes, I do. I believe in faith alone. Well, what is the evidence of salvation? Well, I look to myself. I look to my experience. I look to how well I'm doing. I look to what sin I seem to have gotten the victory over and how much time I'm spending in prayer and Bible study and how much whatever religious thing I'm doing. That's not faith alone. Faith alone looks to Christ alone as the only ground of assurance. And the glory of God alone. Do you believe in the glory of God alone as the only reason for salvation? Oh, yes, I do. I do. But I also believe that we'll be rewarded at the end according to our works and we'll be given a position in heaven according to how well we've done here on earth. And we'll have a worse position if we didn't do as well here on earth. Now, that's not believing in the glory of God alone. You're giving yourself at least some glory in the final position in heaven. That is a confounding of things. That is the religion of Babylon. Now, somebody says, "I'm not worried about the religion of Babylon. I'm sure that I have an understanding of the truth." Well, did you know that Peter may have thought the same thing? But when the Lord was transfigured before him and the other two, James and John, on the Mount of Transfiguration, he was guilty of trying to establish the religion of Babylon. And let me show you that. When the Lord was transfigured before the disciples, Peter, James, and John, the Scripture says His face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as light. At this time, he gave them a glimpse, just a glimpse, of his divine glory. I don't understand this, but at this time, his divinity burst through his humanity. And how much this appeared as he shined as the sun. They couldn't even see his face. Well, when Peter saw this, Scripture said, Peter answered. Nobody asked him anything. But Peter answered, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles. Now remember, when the Lord was transfigured, He was speaking to two men, Moses and Elijah. And they spake of the decease which He should accomplish. Three were there, the Lord Jesus Christ in His glorified state, and Moses representing the law, and Elijah representing the prophets, and we know what they were talking about. They were speaking of the decease, the death, which He would accomplish in Jerusalem. What He would accomplish by it. And Peter said, let us make three tabernacles. One for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Thus, in his whatever motivated him, he was introducing Babylonian religion. And at that time, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And a voice from heaven said, this is my well-beloved Son. Hear Him. And when they raised up from that, they saw no man save Jesus only. Now, there are two words that go together perfectly. Jesus only. Now in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I'd like to read a passage of Scripture, beginning in verse 1. Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, through his deceit, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Now that word is the onlyness, the singularity, the simplicity. Simple as opposed to complex or compound. The simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. The onlyness that is in Christ Jesus. You know, in the gospel, you're not given a choice. The gospel is not multiple choice. Christ is all. What's that make everything else? Nothing. Now here's the gospel. The simplicity that's in Christ. Christ Jesus is all. He's all that God is. He's all that God requires. He's all that I need. He's all that I have. He's all that I want. Christ is all. The simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. Now, where is all the fullness of the Godhead bodily? Jesus only. Of who can it be said when He had by Himself purged our sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Jesus only. Who is described as the brightness of God's glory and the express image of His person? Jesus only. Who is the heir of all things, by whom all things consist? Jesus only. What makes you think that you're saved? Jesus only. How can you be one of the elect? Jesus only. How can your sins be forgiven? Jesus only. What is the ground of your acceptance? Jesus only. How can you stand just before God without sin? Jesus only. How can you be sanctified, declared by God to be holy, actually be holy? Jesus only. How can God love you? Jesus only. What is the ground of your assurance? Jesus only. What is your hope? Jesus only. What is the object of your faith? Jesus only. What is your reward? Jesus only. Where do you want to be found? Jesus only. Oh, that I may win Christ and be found in Him. What is your personal righteousness? Jesus only. Their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. What is your great desire? Jesus only. What is this book called the Bible about? Jesus only. What is the message you preach? Jesus only. What is the message you want to hear? Jesus only. What is the message the world needs to hear? Jesus only. What makes you think you'll enter heaven? Jesus only. Who do you want to be like? Jesus only. You see, Jesus and is the religion of Babylon. It's confusing, it's confounding, it's mixing, it's complex. No one is saved by that message, the message of false religion, Babel, building a tower to God, making it with man-made bricks. Jesus only. The simplicity of Christ is true religion, the religion of God, the religion of this book.
To receive a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send a request to todd.nybert@gmail.com, or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.